Brian Murphy, investigative reporter for WREL, will join us in about 10 minutes. How close are we to getting legalized sports wagering here in North Carolina? Right now, it is legal on property. If you go out to Harrah's in Cherokee, you can go to the sports book there and make bets.
You can physically make bets in the state of North Carolina in 2.5 places, as Brian likes to point out.
Wait, what's the half place?
One of them only has trailers right now that they're set up and they're not quite ready.
Wait, what facility is this? I wasn't aware of the half. We're going to have to talk to Brian about this.
Yes.
Yeah. Half?
There's a half.
I don't know. There's something about the aesthetic of making wagers in a trailer that seems appealing to me.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I mean, that's much better than the fancy setup of a sports book. I don't need a bunch of TVs everywhere. I don't need fancy. Give me a plastic cup and a trailer to make bets. It looks like straight. Did you ever see Running Man? The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie?
You know I don't like it when I have to admit that I haven't seen certain
movies. This is a movie that
okay. No, I have not seen.
Is more of a cult favorite than an actual popular movie.
Have not.
Anyway, the whole point of The Running Man is essentially foreshadowing of what reality television was going to be. And they had these game shows that were literally life and death. But there's like scenes in the movie where they got these dudes in the not so great parts of town, you know, like where everybody's been cast off. And they got these guys with the big chalkboard making live wagers. I'm into that. You tell me there's a place like that in North Carolina? Sign me up. Why are we doing the show from there? That'd be very exciting. Tomorrow, Jay Williams is going to drop on by from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. He's going to be in town. Why is Jay Williams in town? Well, he and Keyshawn will be doing the show from our studios this week. Wednesday morning, both of them are going to be here. And we got this really cool contest that we've been promoting all week, asking you to participate. One lucky winner is going to play basketball against Jay Williams. And they are also going to win tickets to go see the Duke home opener. That person is David Gordon. So congrats to David Gordon. He texted the right keyword, and we selected him to go toe-to-toe with Jay Williams over at Duke. And he's going to go see the Duke home basketball home opener. With Keyshawn, we asked you to text so you could have an opportunity to give him the damn ball. Those three winners we're going to talk to right now. The first qualifier is Rodney Smith. Rodney, how are you?
All right, how's it going?
We're good, man. We're good. So you're going to throw Keyshawn, as he likes to put it, the damn ball. How's your arm? How's your arm, Rodney?
Oh, it's ready for him.
Did you play quarterback at any point in your youth?
No, I didn't, but I'm ready to throw him the damn ball.
All right. How far can you throw the ball, Rodney? When's the last time you chucked the football?
Oh, it's been a long time, but I'm excited.
All right. Well, Rodney, I hope you get him the damn ball, because Keyshawn, if I know anything about Keyshawn, he will rip you if you can't get him the damn ball. Right, Rodney?
Yeah, he will. He will.
All right, man. Sit tight, and thanks for listening, and thanks for participating. Eric Whaley is our next qualifier. Eric, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, thanks for participating in this, and you're going to throw Keyshawn the damn ball. When's the last time you threw a football?
Well, I was playing catch in the backyard with my kids. That was the last time, and I think I can throw it at least 25, 30 yards.
Hey, man, that's longer than you think.
That is longer than you think. Now, when you say you've been throwing the football with your kids, are we talking a Nerf football? Are we talking like a little tyke? What are we doing here?
Oh, I would say below regulation size football you get from Walmart.
All right. Are you prepared if you just throw it wide with Keyshawn that he might talk some smack to you?
You know what? I'm prepared, but it's not every day you get to throw a football to a 3-time Pro Bowler. I'm ready for whatever.
This is true. Right? Now, were you a Jets fan at any point?
I never was. I was before the Panthers. I was a Cowboys fan.
Okay,
early '90s Cowboys.
All right. So there's no Keyshawn because you were a Jets fan. I mean, there might be some other things that you might want to say to Keyshawn. He wasn't with the Panthers long enough to know. But I'm guessing if you were a Jets fan, maybe there could be some things that, like, hey man, look. But anyway, all right, Eric. Thank you for listening. Thanks for participating. And
right,
we will see
it, guys.
And we will see you Wednesday to see if you can give Keyshawn the damn ball. And finally, we have Wayne Westbrook. Wayne, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Congratulations on being selected. You are third participant to give Keyshawn the damn ball. Wayne, when's the last time you threw a football?
It's probably been 20 years.
So, Wayne, why did you sign up, man? Is your like what condition is your arm in, man? You like you doing some rotator cuff stretches? What are you doing, man?
I started stretching the moment I entered the contest. 39-year-old man. I've been throwing the Nerf ball around back, so maybe that'll help me.
Oh man, I don't know. I would actually see if you can get an actual football between now and Wednesday.
Get some icy hot too, because after you sling that thing a couple times.
Hey, look, I was doing some yard work this weekend, and my shoulders are sore. Okay.
Oh yeah, can I throw a shovel pass or does it have to be like a?
Yeah, call your own route. I like that.
I like it. Like, all right, look.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, just five and out. That's what I'm looking to do. That's all I'm looking to do.
There and back.
Hey, Wayne, thanks for listening, man. Thanks for participating. All of this brought to you by Window World. These guys are going to be going over to Duke's practice facility. They're going to give Keyshawn the damn ball, and whoever does it best is going to win a Keyshawn jersey, and he will be going to, and this person will be going, to the Panthers home opener later this season. So, congratulations to them. Thanks to Keyshawn J. Will coming through and to Window World for sponsoring this. It should be a lot of fun. Jillio and I are going to be out there, and I can't wait to put some of this stuff on social media. Like, I'm sorry, but based on having talked to Rodney, Eric, and Wayne, I have a feeling Keyshawn he's going to want to trade. He's going to want off the team. Just a hunch. I can't win with these guys.
There might be a ringer in there.
Yeah, somebody might be sandbagging.
There you go.
Somebody might be sandbagging. You never know. Again, thanks to Window World for sponsoring this.
So they get a chance to win tickets to see the Panthers.
Yes.
And that'll be Keyshawn's call.
That is Keyshawn's
That's
call.
Actually the best part of this.
Meanwhile, David.
One of them has to impress Keyshawn.
Has to. Meanwhile, David will shoot hoops with Jay Williams, and he will win tickets to go see the Duke basketball home opener. And again, thanks to Window World of Raleigh, America's largest replacement window and exterior remodeling company, for being a part of this contest. And hey, Keyshawn and Jay will be here Wednesday morning. So listen Wednesday morning here on The Fan from 6 until 10. You'll be like, wait a minute. Why do they sound so good? They're using our microphones. That's why. I mean, that's what makes us sound good, clearly. It's all the technology. Shout out to Will for doing a bang-up job with all of that. Check out the Brief History of Triangle Sports podcast. New episode coming out on Wednesday. It'll feature John Forslund. That'll tie into a lot of things that we're seeing with the Carolina Hurricanes. Forslund was the television play-by-play for the Carolina Hurricanes. Now he is with the Seattle Kraken. You'll see him on TNT. Actually called a game already for the Carolina Hurricanes this postseason with the Boston Bruins on TNT. So that episode will come out on Wednesday, so be on the lookout for that. Hopefully we'll be talking about a Carolina Hurricanes victory from Tuesday night, headed into Game 5 on Thursday, which means we had to make a very difficult decision today. Not happy about this, but there's actually probably one person that's happy about it. You see, Thursday night, Game 5, Carolina Hurricanes and New York Rangers, is the same night as the North Carolina Beer Mile. Unfortunately, we have to bail on the North Carolina Beer Mile.
I've been training too, man.
I know. You haven't had any beer?
Mm-mm.
You've been running?
Well, I mean, let's define running, but... You know how I went about this last time? Like, the most important thing to me was to not drink.
Yeah.
And to be in better weight shape than I was, right? So I felt like and the adrenaline really does kick in. It is a race after all. I mean, you do get that kind of rush from being out there. It's such a great event, and they do such a great job over at the Bond Brothers there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're not into hockey, I would go over there Thursday night. It's a great event.
Yeah, I'm bummed out. I was really looking forward to watching Rand dump beer on himself because we know he can't chug.
Yeah, we were not going to let him chug this time.
No, because he has pinky out. Let me sip this beer.
And that's part of the rules. Like, if you don't feel like drinking, you can dump the beer on your head.
Yeah.
We probably would have saved, what, did we time it? It was 28 seconds.
Easily.
No, but hang on.
Easily.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Shout out to show fam Candace Cooper, because I have gotten my time down since the last one, but not enough to make it. You were going to dump beer
over your head. That's part of the rules. And we were going to make up an incredible amount of time, and we were going to do it for the content. But hey, man, playoff hockey. Playoff hockey takes precedent. So we'll be out at PNC Arena on Thursday night getting you ready for game 5. The Canes didn't do us a favor. They lost yesterday. They could have swept the Rangers, but no. The Canes are doing this thing where they just kind of get away from what works and not taking advantage of the opportunities, mainly on the power play. Not to oversimplify what happened on Sunday, but Rod Brind'Amour certainly did. It came down to not taking advantage of those opportunities. And, you know, he's asked a question about, you know, not winning. And he always says, like, well, yeah, when you don't win, you're not happy. But they understand why they didn't win.
They all kind of suck and you don't win. But I think overall, we definitely had our opportunities to win. I mean, it felt pretty good. It felt good the way we were going. It just, like I said, we couldn't get pucked through the net. So
that was Rod Brind'Amour following the loss to the New York Rangers. After the game, there was some interesting back and forth. Max Domi, I guess the Rangers didn't like the fact that he was giving them a cheap shot, so they jump him. Tony DeAngelo and Gallant, the head coach of the New York Rangers, had a back and forth. Tony DeAngelo blew it off, but so did Rod Brind'Amour too. Brind'Amour was told about Gallant's comments about how, you know, I wasn't happy with that crap. Wasn't happy about, like, the sending of the message. I got guys who can send messages too. Here's what Rod had to say in response to Gallant.
Did he really said that? I didn't listen to any of that. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, not like we have guys that send messages, you know. and we pulled a goalie there too. So I had a 6-on-5 going with Necci out there and KK.
Rod nonplussed about that exchange.
Wait, who did he just mention? Because he basically just called those two guys soft.
Yeah.
That's what he was basically saying.
It's essentially what he said. Rod's not wrong. Look, this is not the Boston series where they knew that that's the kind of stuff you wanted to engage in. The Canes.
We got Gerard Gallant saying, yeah, man, we're going to lose in Raleigh. And now Rod basically calling his own guys soft. I don't know if that was a great move.
I don't think that's what Rod was saying.
Well, he's trying to intimate they're skilled and they're out there because they're skilled. But what you're saying in this context is like, oh, wait, we had, I think he's saying Natchez, right?
Yes.
So we had Natchez and Kokanyemi out there. Like, who are they fighting?
Yeah, they're not fighting.
What message are they sending?
Fair. That's a fair statement from Rod. But I think it's what Brind'Amour wants people to think about the Canes.
Sure.
Because that's always been kind of the underlying conversation about the Hurricanes. Outwardly, people view them as skill process.
Right.
But they can engage in the physicality. They can get nasty. I mean,
much
it's the
more
moves
so
they
this,
made.
This group much more so than any other.
Yes.
Others. Correct.
Yes. And they knew that was a thing that needed to be corrected. And they added guys they felt had a little bit more sandpaper. Well, Tony D'Angelo is a prime example of that.
Yeah, but look at the way Aho has played. He's been much more physical.
Yes.
Andrei Svechnikov, since he's learned that you don't fight, you know, in the playoffs, he's been uber physical, maybe to the point of sacrificing his own skills, so we'll see.
It's the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. And Brian Murphy is the WRAL Sports Investigative Reporter. He's got a story on WRAL.com right now where online sports betting could be in North Carolina by football season, at least according to legislative supporters. Brian Murphy joins us on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Brian, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. I was going to say, it's been a long time since we've talked to you. Now you're part of the Capital Broadcasting family, which is great. And this is something that I know we've been tracking for a while now. And the way it was always presented to me is that we would get actual traction for sports wagering legalized here in the state by May. Well, it's May 23rd. So where exactly do things stand right now?
Well, this bill passed the Senate last year, and now it's expected to pass the House within the next, you know, month, I would say. The supporters say they have the votes for it. They've lined it all up. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's after the primaries are over, and this is a short session, so they're only going to be around until July, so they've got to get it done here in the next, you know, month or so.
Brian Murphy joining us here on the Heister Automotive Group Hotline. Works for WRAL. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. All right, Murph, I caught Ovius off guard here when I mentioned that you had outlined in your tweets and your story about the 2.5 casinos that actually have gambling here in North Carolina. Can you explain this one to Joe, please?
Sure. So the only place you can gamble on sports, so this is a misconception, right? Sports gambling is legal in North Carolina. The problem is you've got to do it at a physical casino, and there are 2.5, as I said, the two in the Cherokee, on Cherokee land in the far western part of the state, and then the Catawba Casino in Kings Mountain, which I only consider half a casino because they're basically operating out of a trailer right now while the real casino gets built. You cannot actually gamble on sports at that casino just yet, but when they're up and functioning, you will be able to gamble on sports right now. So you will be able to gamble on sports there. So I call it 2.5 for now. Eventually it'll be 3. And you won't have to go all the way to Cherokee Country to get to a casino.
Joe wants the Fight Club.
I kind of like the vibe. I like the sound of the vibe. Give me a tiki hut, some plastic red cups, some dude at a chalkboard giving you live odds and throwing money at him. I like this vibe.
I haven't been there, but my understanding is they're at my high school, right, when the high school was overflowing, they put a couple trailers out back.
Yeah,
that's my sense of what the Kings Mountain casino looks
you,
like. Right
you, you bring up school, Brian. Now I'm thinking about who's the kid in the class who was walking around with the sheet, you know, with the NFL sheet. Bring this back. I feel like this is stuff that you could easily monetize now. All right, so who is Brian Murphy joining us? WRAL sports investigative reporter on the status of sports wagering here in the state of North Carolina. What's the biggest holdup? I mean, you see what's going on in Virginia. We understand what's happening in South Carolina. Like all things, North Carolina ends up being put in a position where they have to adapt. Otherwise, they can lose money to other states. But what seems to be the biggest holdup for this right now?
I think the biggest holdup is the bill, like getting it done. When you look at the bill, the tax rate is super low. It's only 8%. Virginia's at 15%. The fee to get a license is only $500,000. Pennsylvania charges $10 million for the sports operators, to the wagering, FanDuel, DraftKings, Caesars, you name it, to get a license. So I think there's some questions about the bill. Obviously, it divided the Republicans in the Senate. More Republicans voted against it than voted for it, which is really surprising to see a bill move in the GOP-controlled chamber with more Republicans against it. So I think the lawmakers have had to walk this line, right? They've had to get enough support among the Republican caucus and then let the Democrats kind of carry it over the line, and that's what you'll see in the House as well. And I think that you'll also see another bill come right after it that makes corrections to this bill, increases the tax rate, increases the fees to get the license. The problem is they don't want to have to run – they don't want to make the fixes in this bill and then have to run it through the Senate again because the politics isn't great in the Senate.
And gambling turns, Brian. Basically, that tax rate is the VIG that the state's taking, right?
Correct. But that rate also allows for what they call, they call it adjusted gross revenue. Basically, it lets the operators write off all their promotional costs. So that 8% is not really 8% of the handle. It's much, much less. They want to raise that rate to about 14-15%.
Brian Murphy joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. He's the WRAL sports investigative reporter. One thing I wanted to circle back to as you related for who's actually for this and who's not, right? Why is that a surprise exactly?
You know, it's sort of like some issues in this country, both the far left of the legislature and the far right of the legislature are against it.
Okay.
And so you kind of got the moderates and the center of both parties for it. For a lot of the reasons you would expect, social conservatives are worried about, the impacts on the family, what it might do, gambling addiction. Some on the far left or the more progressive members of the legislature are worried about, kind of being a giveaway to corporations. You're basically turning your state over to gambling operators and letting them run wild. And we'll see tons of advertising and all that stuff. And so it's up to kind of the lawmakers in the middle of both parties to get this passed. And
well, that's interesting, like you bring up the
ad. They have the votes to do it.
That's interesting you bring up the advertising part of it, Brian, because, I mean, if you're watching the Carolina Hurricanes in the postseason on the Dasher boards themselves, they're advertising gambling outfits, what, like Betway, I forgot the other one. So it's strange to me that the Hurricanes are playing games on national television and they're advertising things that you cannot do in this state. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure what they're worried about in terms of that. Any sporting event that I watch is inundated with BetMGM and DraftKings and everything else.
I'll speak here for Brian. I'll give you an example. I was driving from West Virginia to Virginia Tech on this random two-lane road.
Sure.
And you see this BetMGM billboard. And the concern would be, I've never thought about gambling before. But now all of a sudden, I see this fancy billboard in the middle of West Virginia where maybe I can't pay my electric bill. And instead of doing that, you know, you're seduced by the advertisement.
When you should be buying a beer.
Exactly.
Got it.
Exactly. Got something it. Like that.
You know, I think there's also the concern, and you guys, you know, have young kids, as do I, that their exposure to sports is not going to be like, you know, who's in first place or how are the Canes doing making the playoffs? It's going to be, you know, hey, the over-under hit on the number of goals in this game. Or, I mean, you're just, you guys are watching the games. That's all you see here. Over-under, did Svechnikov score a goal? You know, it's not going to be, and look, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's how kids take in the games, but that's certainly a concern out there that their exposure to sports is going to be simply through the lens of gambling.
Brian Murphy, WREL Sports Investigative Reporter. Hey, man, we appreciate the time. We will follow up here as we get back into this short session.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks.